Hello, this is Ken Smith welcoming you to our Bringing a Message radio program, brought to you by the By All Means Gospel Trust from Solihull in England. Today we have the last message in our series, Pictures of Jesus in John's Gospel, and we are looking at the 21st chapter. We are calling today's message, Jesus Appearing Again. Jesus appeared many times to his disciples after he had risen and before he ascended into heaven. We shall see that one reason John wrote his Gospel was that the reader may have life in the name of Jesus. We believe you will be blessed as Maurice Payne uplifts Jesus in his message to us. We want you to know that Jesus is a living Saviour and Lord. Next week we begin a new series. Hilary is reading the scriptures and making the closing announcement. Music is by Peter Jackson and Singers. We're always glad to hear from our listeners, and so do write to us if this programme is of a special blessing to you. Stay tuned for today's message.
Chapter 21 is the last chapter in John's Gospel, and we're calling the picture we find there Jesus appearing again. We get this from the very first verse in this chapter.
Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias.
Now, for anyone reading through John's Gospel, it would appear that John first closed his Gospel at the end of chapter 20, and the 21st chapter was added as a postscript and contains information that John forgot to mention earlier. He may have added this chapter to the original manuscript himself, or dictated it, or asked another trusted person to write it for him. The central message of the chapter is that Jesus appeared again to his disciples, and this needed describing and explaining in some detail. The truth that Christ appeared to his disciples again is a blessing to us. We never reach the end of Revelation. There is always something more. Jesus clearly identified himself to his disciples, as we've seen in chapter 20. But there was more than that for them, as we shall now see. First, in this last chapter, John clearly shows how Peter was reinstated among the disciples again. There would be those who thought that Peter could never be accepted after such a denial as he had made there in the judgment hall when Jesus was before the high priest. And secondly, in this chapter, John is wanting to show the reader that there were many other things that he could have written in his gospel. But to attempt these would have been an impossible task. He wrote,
"Even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written."
And third reason, in this chapter, John wanted to quash the rumour that had apparently spread among some brethren that he, John, would not die, but would remain alive until Christ's second coming. But verse 23 says quite clearly,
"Jesus did not say he would not die."
Realization that Jesus was with his disciples after the gospel narrative had closed was a strength and comfort to them in their day as it is to us in ours. It isn't enough to have seen Jesus yesterday. We must see him today. Whereas the disciples saw Jesus with the naked eye, we see him with the eye of faith. But he's the same. The Holy Spirit gives the assurance to all who are truly born again of the Spirit that Jesus is alive. In the days immediately preceding the scenes described in this chapter 21, the disciples knew Jesus had risen from the tomb, and they saw him again in person. Now, they needed to see him again and again, alive and with them in each new day and meeting every new situation and challenge they may have to face. So, while your experience of Christ yesterday may be the foundation upon which your faith rests, you need to see him again today, to know he's there, or rather here, and has not gone away, but is with you. Now there are important things to learn. The first lesson is, he provides help when needed. Jesus came to the aid of his disciples in their hour of need. It was not a matter of going away and telling them to get on with the job as best they could. We don't really know if it was a step backwards when Peter said he was going fishing and the others joined him. But listen to what John says in the third verse in this chapter.
"I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. And they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing.
It may have been a matter of necessity that they land a catch of fish to be sold on the jetty the next day. What we do know is that Jesus more than provided for them with a net full of fish. They toiled all night and caught nothing. It would seem to indicate that their fishing day should be over. Henceforth, they should be catching men for the kingdom of God. And so morning light would find them discouraged and unsuccessful. Listen to verses 6 and 7.
"Jesus said, 'Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some.' When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, 'It is the Lord.' As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, 'It is the Lord,' he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water."
Jesus told them to cast the net on the right side, not to understand why, but to hear the command and do it. And he promised them if they obeyed, their net would be full. This is miraculous whichever way you look at it, whether creating the fish or collecting the existing fish and knowing they were there to be caught. Jesus did in a moment what the disciples couldn't do all night. Then, when they came to shore, they found a fire burning with fish cooking and bread waiting to be eaten. Did Jesus lay and light the fire very early in the morning? Catch the fish and buy the bread? Well, it was a provision for his cold and miserable band of disciples. You may have difficulty and problem and distress and heartache as a follower of the Lord, but you'll find that Jesus wonderfully provides and meets your every need. The important lesson for them to learn was that even when a miserable failure in what they thought they could do, Jesus provided for them. And he did so without their asking. The Gospel tells us that the disciples didn't realize it was Jesus until they saw the miraculous catch. One of them, or someone, took time to count the fish, 153. Now note Jesus' request to them, telling them what they should do.
In verse 10, we read, Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught."
The disciples might have said that they had not really caught them. It was Jesus who got them into their net. How gracious that Jesus said, "The fish that you've caught." They'd merely obeyed his voice, thrown the net over the side of the boat, and then drawn it in. Well, whatever we experience in the path of discipleship, Christ would use the part we play, however small. And so, having been told there was fish cooking on the fire, and Jesus could have provided enough for all, but he didn't do so. He needed some of their fish. Jesus provides help when needed. Now the second lesson is the devotion Jesus expects. Jesus used this appearance to test his disciples' devotion to him, principally doing so through Peter. Three times he asked Peter if he loved him. Listen to John's words.
When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." That's verses 15 to 17 of John 21.
Peter may have expected to be thrown out because of his blatant denial that he knew Jesus there in Pilate's judgment hall. Jesus' thrice repeated question could be said to match those three denials. And both denials and questions were made beside a fire, albeit a different fire. Peter's story, you know, needs a chapter, if not a book of its own. He had already been reinstated by Jesus, who told the women at the tomb, you may remember, they should tell the news of his resurrection to the disciples and Peter, and thereby associating Peter with the others. And Peter had been with John when they ran together to the tomb to see for themselves. Now Jesus was to give him opportunity to declare publicly and before his brethren his love for the Lord. That love was to take him along a path of persecution for the faith and through circumstances that would test its truth to the limit. After each affirmation Peter made, Jesus called on Peter to feed Christ's lambs, his sheep and other sheep. The thrice repeated words of Jesus possibly indicated three classes of need he was to meet in shepherding the flock of God. So Jesus expected devotion. And then thirdly, Jesus wanted to show he was in control. The reappearance of Jesus, as described in this chapter in John's Gospel, revealed to the disciples that Jesus was to be in full and perfect and personal control of each of their lives. We see this from Jesus' words to Peter about what was awaiting him. Peter had been used to making decisions and acting positively, albeit sometimes impetuously. Now Jesus told him that when he was old, he would stretch out his hands, someone else would dress him and lead him where he didn't want to go. And John adds that this was to describe the death he would meet. And apparently, this was to be by crucifixion. It's easy to sing words like the refrain, "Follow, follow, I will follow Jesus," but difficult to do. Following Jesus doesn't mean surrendering all responsibility to think, make decisions, or carry responsibility anymore. It means using all our faculties in faithfully following. Following Jesus may mean unexpected difficulties, perhaps fires of persecution and temptation, to be often misunderstood, and to go along a track that can only be negotiated by faith. It can only be undertaken by the possession of two qualities, faith in and love for the Lord. This explains Jesus' repeated question, "Do you love me?" making Peter think hard about the answer, and the "follow me," whatever that may involve. We wonder if Peter sought to escape from the intense questioning and attention that Jesus was giving him. Some have thought it was genuine concern for his brother's welfare. When we read,
"Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them."
He referred to John. That he was nearby is not surprising, for during these days Peter and John were often together.
"Lord, what about him?"
Peter asked. If this was an attempt to deflect attention from himself by the question, Peter failed. If it was a concern for his friend John, Jesus made it clear that question was not to be addressed here. The important task and responsibility that Jesus had given him was, "Follow me." He made it look as though his interest in and concern for his brother were equal to the duty of following Christ himself. So listen to Jesus' answer in verse 22.
"If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me."
You know, this shows us how easy it is for any one of us to get concerned about others and neglect ourselves. Inquiring about his closest brother brought a mild rebuke from Jesus, whose commission to Peter was, "You must follow me." If you've run in a race and run to win, you will know that while aware of others competing with you, your priority is about your own performance. And here Jesus is saying to Peter that if he tries to find all about God's plan for his fellow disciples, he may lose the plot for his own. What a lot this final appearance of Jesus meant to the disciples and means to us. It may have been added to clarify certain facts, yet it taught and teaches us valuable lessons about our own work. First, the inherent danger in reverting to old ways. God called his people to come out from them and be separate. That's in 2 Corinthians 6:17. And this can only mean come out from the things and ways of the world. The Lord has called his children. Listen to what Peter later wrote.
But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. 1 Peter 2 verse 9.
And listen to the question that the Apostle Paul asked.
Since you died with Christ to the basic principles of this world, why, as though you still belong to it, do you submit to its rules? Colossians 2 verse 20.
Peter should have given more thought about his return to fishing, whatever his reason, and not taken the others with him. Now, second, the interest Jesus has in where his children are and what they are doing is found here. He appeared to the disciples on the lake. He knew they were there. He went to them. He didn't wait until they'd got over their desire for a taste of fishing. He provided for them at a time, in a way, and at a place they didn't expect. And you know, the Lord will do this for you. He'll come to you when you least expect him. He'll meet your need in every situation. His provision on this occasion was according to their need, not as they deserved. It taught them that in the matters of everyday life, they needed Jesus. And the incident is recorded in full detail to teach us as well. Jesus still turns sorrow into joy in our hour of deepest failure and depression. Learning from the disciples' experience will mean that we shall see him in the mists of life when we seem to have little to comfort us. And then third, the commitment that discipleship involves is seen here. Perhaps the most important, as this appearance of Jesus and his dialogue with Peter teaches us. Jesus is alive, written and among us in resurrection power. Now, as then, the disciple cannot sink into lethargy and ease. Now the passion and death of Christ was over, these disciples had work to do. Peter was jolted, and some of us need to be shaken, into answering whether he really loved Jesus. Saved by him, captivated by him, ready to serve him in love and devotion. Unless there is this bond of heaven-born love, we shall not clasp the hand that leads us, nor follow the path that is set before us. An appreciation of the need for Peter to be faced with this demand is needed if we would be Christ's followers today. And fourth and lastly, we see the danger of busying ourselves with others when Jesus is trying to put our lives right. The follower of Jesus will be lovingly concerned with and for others, but not at the expense of neglecting his or her own walk with the Lord. Life can be so filled with activity that there is no time given to waiting upon the Lord. We can be so busy attending to what we see as the way that we do not look to Jesus and the way he is wanting to lead us. Jesus' injunction to Peter is very important. It is not an automatic experience or something we can take as granted or let a vow made in the past sustain us today. We need to ask, where is the Lord leading me today? And to make following him our priority. Jesus equips us and sends us. His commission to his disciples makes this plain. At the same time, Jesus leads the way as his words to Peter indicate, when telling him to follow. The last verse of this 21st chapter, read in the light of the last verse of the 20th chapter, shows us what the writer set out to do. It wasn't to record everything. The world couldn't contain the books needed to do that. But to give us enough to see that the opening statement about the Word, and that the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, was borne out by all that is recorded. Chapters 1 to 20 proclaim the Son of God. 21 emphasizes that we need to receive him and follow him. And may you, listener today, know this experience of the joy of following Jesus.
The Bringing a Message program you have just heard is produced by the By All Means Gospel Trust, based in the United Kingdom. We are always pleased to hear from our listeners, and there are several ways you can contact us. You can write to us at BAM Gospel Trust, P.O. Box 986, Bourne, B-O-U-R-N, Cambridge, CB23, 2YX. You can email us info@bringingamessage.org, or you can use the response form on our website's contact page. To hear this program again, or to find out more about the Trust's work and publications, go to our website www.bringingamessage.org. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter. One of our publications is called Break and Meditate. This contains short comments on a verse from the Bible, one for each day. This is available free either as a booklet mailed every 2 months or as a file emailed monthly. The reading for the day is also available on the Read page of our website. BAM also produce Bible study books and booklets. One booklet is produced every 2 months, and several earlier series are available from our website, where you will also find details of all available publications. The work of BAM is supported by donations. If you would like to contribute to this ministry, why not use the secure CAF donate form on our website's support page? And now join Peter Jackson and singers as they sing Emmanuel, God is with us, Emmanuel, deep within my heart, Emmanuel, for time and for eternity, I'll praise his name, Emmanuel.
Thank you for joining us today. Listen at the same time next week. Until then, this is Ken Smith saying goodbye, and may God richly bless you.